On the recent Cloudflare earnings, CEO Matthew Prince, also known as the guy that took this picture and posted it on X and did not delete it, announced two things in the same breath. One is that the company had its best quarter in its 16-year history, $639 million in revenue. Two, he announced that he was laying off 1,100 people, which is just shy of the number Matthew tried to go for, but his staff stopped him. He's like, he wanted that 1.1.1.1 again. He wanted to lay off 11 more people, but they're like, come on, Matthew. And so he's like, yeah, you know, he went on this call and he's like, congratulations, team. We had our best quarter in the history of the company. And also, we're firing one in five of you. So thank you. Thank you all for your hard work. Here is your severance. And an analyst asked him on the call the obvious question. He's like, Matthew, if you just had your best quarter ever, why are you firing this many people? And he said, just because you're fit, it doesn't mean you can't get fitter. This dude is talking like a personal trainer now, dude. He's like read a David Goggins book and now he's, you know, talking about the art of discipline. Sorry, humans, my guy. Describing their layoff like it's a workout split. Yeah, we're doing chest, triceps, and 1,100 layoffs today. I'm gonna be so sore tomorrow. And he kept going. He didn't stop there. Thank you, Matthew, for the transparency. He said that his employees have become 100 times more productive, bro. 100 times, dude. You take any given Cloudflare employee and you 100x that son of a you 100x that son of a gun. And try not to swear here. Did I already swear? I'm not actually sure. I'm trying to imagine what 100x Jesus Christ. But that wasn't even the worst part. He said it's like going from a manual to an electric screwdriver. This guy compared his employees to a screwdriver, bro. And like, you know, the laid off employees are listening, the families are listening, dude, Cloudflare engineer's wife is listening to her husband being called a screwdriver. I mean, this is devastating, man. This dude is comparing your husband to a Black and Decker, bro. And he's like, no, you're not fired. You're more of a flathead, and we're looking for a Phillips. But he said one thing that is really, really important and is the main thesis of this video. Whenever we have these layoffs, there's always this little tell, this little signal that we get as observers as to what the market is looking for. And here's what Matthew said. He said the productivity gains from the people directly creating code have been incredible, and a lot of the support roles behind them are not going to be the roles that drive companies going forward. Now, the word support roles, it's easy to read that or to hear that and think he's talking about customer service or something. That's not what he means, dude. What he means by support roles is that, you know, for 30 years, companies have had to hire reserves. You had the starters, you had the five starters, and you had everyone else on the bench. And the point of the players on the bench was so that if one of your star players is injured or tires out in the middle of the game, you swap them out. If your star player quit or went on vacation or something, this was a really scary thing for a lot of companies, especially smaller companies where one person held a shit ton of institutional knowledge. So you'd have to hire like redundancy, like backups who get onboarded and don't really do much other than just hold the knowledge. It was basically insurance. But what companies have now sort of noticed is that you don't need a bench anymore. In a sense, you don't need these backups because Claude is the backup. You know, if you're looking for a mediocre dev, look no further than Claude, dude. Like, you know, imagine your star player quits. Before you'd be screwed, now you just open up a Claude instance and you ask questions. You can get by, right? It's not going to be perfect. And so that's what Matthew meant by support roles. Now, if the story ended here, we would be screwed. You would be screwed. We'd all sort of be screwed here. But there's one man who saves us all here. His name is, well, his last name is Jevons. The S is part of his name. So he is a Victorian dude. He died in 1882. In 1865, he noticed that when the steam engine got more efficient, the demand for coal went up, not down. Everyone sort of quotes Jevons' paradox and they say, look, guys, I know it's unintuitive right now, and I know we can't imagine it, but demand for software will go up. We're gonna be making 50 times more, 10x more software, 50x more software. And I'm like hearing that, and I'm like, dude, what do you mean by 50x more software? Like, you wanna take the current state of software and 50x that in volume? Like, are you out of your mind, dude? Like, I have enough software. I want better software. I want less software. Dude, 50x more, like 50x more apps on my home screen, 50x more notifications, 50x more bugs. I don't want any of that. I think that's a naive interpretation. And I want to offer you a different interpretation of Jevons' paradox. The question is, if Jevons turns out to be right about AI, why, right? What aren't we intuiting right now? What are we missing? And the answer is the long tail of software. Every company has like an infinite list of software they want to build, whether externally or internally, but in a lot of cases, internal software just doesn't get built altogether. You have teams that want a dashboard, that want an automation, that want a Slack bot, that want an ad hoc tool. There is so much that wants to be built, but can never ever be budgeted. You can never get an internal tool to fit into some quarters OKRs or something. It never matches the priority of your actual core product. And so there's just a shit ton of pent up demand internally in companies for software that has never been met. And I think that demand gets met now. There's no denying that AI is very good at building ad hoc tools that you don't really care about their quality necessarily. Like internal dashboards historically have been an absolute horror show, like the worst quality, the most outdated, nobody wants to work on it. AI is going to be a godsend for internal tools. And most companies haven't realized this. They haven't realized yet or figured out yet how to take advantage of the so-called efficiency gains. But I think generally what a lot of companies do is that when they are having a hard time steering the ship, you lessen the load of the ship. When companies want to make a pivot, it's much easier to do that with a smaller team. There's two things you could do here. One is you wait. You practice patience. If you're somebody in a job or you're somebody looking for a job, this is a rhetorical. What I'm saying is rhetorical. I don't actually expect you to wait, but I want to make this case just because when I say the next thing, you don't get upset. Now, if you don't want to wait, here's what you have to do. You have to differentiate. You know, everyone on their resume is like, I hope you're putting on your resume that you are an AI wizard, that you can orchestrate 10 agents. Like Boris, every podcast he goes on, he talks about how he did 300 pull requests just today. On the way, on the Uber to the podcast interview, he, from his phone, he fired off 300 pull requests. That's what people want, man. I hope you're saying something like that. Speaking of Cloudflare, one of the engineers who got laid off, he posted a comment to Hacker News on the thread, and he says, you know, yikes, looks like I was one of the persons affected. Here's a link to my website where I have my resume. And in this website, he or she or they said, I'm more than happy to use AI, but also I could do things by hand. And I think, you know, the idea was that an employer reading that would think, oh, wow, this person is really impressive. Like, wow, they could do both? That's what I want. I want someone that could do AI and can someone do it by hand. I think that's wrong. I don't think that's what you want to be saying. But I think what you want to be saying instead is, while I can code by hand, I have in the last 12 months, 100x'd my throughput by using exclusively AI. I have a proprietary agent orchestration system that lets me ship more pull requests than the man, the legend, Boris himself. Whether it's true or not, well, you know, get the job first and then fill in the gaps. You know, you can easily make it true. It's not that hard to manage 10 agents, bro. You open up one Claude instance and you're like, spin up 10 agents. There you go. It's all pretty easy. There's no skill to it. There's no skill to AI agent orchestration, bro. But the CEOs don't know that. So you can take advantage of that. The one thing everyone sucks at is making an impression, standing out, getting their name on top of the pile. This has been the playbook for 20 years. Personally, for me, almost everyone I hired had a personal website. That's very important to me. Like, you have to have something that you're proud of, that you put your name on, that you maintain, that represents you. Like, I look at a website, and just by its design, I get a really good sense of everything that you stand for that I don't get from your resume. And so if you don't have a personal website today, there's really no excuse. It'll take you like 10 minutes, dude. Do some thought leadership there. You know, show that you have interests of some sort. But it used to be that it was almost like 70% skill and maybe 30% all this shit that devs don't like to do. And I think now the balance has shifted. It's 70% attention, marketing, positioning yourself, and 30% skill. This video isn't about tips about how to focus on the 70%. It's rather just to inform you that that's the balance now. It has shifted. And if you're still sort of focused on the skill side of things, you might not have gotten the memo. But again, you don't have to do anything. If you don't want to do anything, bro, Wait for Jevons Paradox to kick in, and it'll be begging you to come back. We just don't know when that will be. Presumably, the capitalism cycle moves pretty quick. Once they max out with their current labor pool, they are going to be like, okay, we need more people. We need more people. That's every company you've ever worked at. Everyone's always saying, we need more people, we need more people. Temporarily now, people are saying, let's try less people. But eventually, Jevons Paradox says, we need more people. And I hope to cover more of the concrete tips on actually how to take advantage of this change in dynamics in a future video. Thanks for watching.